Yes. Go your way. Go your way. Those are encouraging words that the angel spoke to Daniel. And you know, all of us kind of want to go our way. But do you think life will turn out great if all of us go our way? That is, if every one of us follows our own desires, would all our actions be good? What if my desire was to have your car? Give me those keys, Robert. or your puppy, or your kids. Would you be cool with that if I had your kids? Yeah, I knew somebody would say yes. Well, no, of course not. We can't all freely pursue our way, our wants, our desires until we have given our hearts, our lives to Jesus and let our minds be transformed by his power. That is, to have put away the old man of sin and taken up the new life in Christ. Sometimes that putting to death sinful desires of the flesh is a daily or hour by hour thing. Only when our way is God's way can the message of the angel, the message of God's messenger, apply to us. That message of go your way. Today we are going to finish the book of Daniel. We're going to cover at least some of the important verses in those two chapters. Chapters 11 and 12 is what's left of the book of Daniel. But I don't want to wear you out or me out either and read everything. Chapter 11 is 2 pages long in my Bible, and then 12 as well. So we'll just kind of skim along through it. I would encourage you, though, to finish reading the book of Daniel, or start reading the book of Daniel if you haven't, in your own devotions. So Daniel chapter 11, it's a long chapter giving history. At least for Daniel it was history. History, but for him it was of the future. What's coming in the future. For us, a lot of it's in the past, but definitely not all. Some of the things mentioned, we have very clear ideas of exactly who or what event is being talked about. Other things, not so much. And there's a murder in the passage that gets just kind of mentioned in passing. So I'll mention that. In chapter 11, the angel is still speaking. So he was speaking to Daniel at the end of chapter 10. And all of 11 is the angel telling him all these different things. He's still speaking. So back in chapter 10, verse 20, that's where the angel started this last dissertation. But I want to read to you 18 and 19 from chapter 10. Then this one, with human appearance, touched me again and strengthened me. He said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now, as soon as he spoke, I received the strength and said, My Lord, speak, for you have strengthened me. So as you recall from last week, Daniel was weakened by the visions. The angel touched and strengthened him, and so Daniel was ready to stand up and listen to the angel's words. And Lord, give us, this congregation, the strength and the wisdom and desire to hear from your words this morning. Amen? So let's jump to verse 1 in chapter 11. In the first year, Darius the Mede, I arose to be an encouragement and a protection for him. So that's the angel speaking. In the first year of Darius the Mede, what was his job? What did he get up to do? Encourage and protect. Who? Darius, the king of the Medes, not some Hebrew or whatever. It was this angel's job to look after Darius, even though he wasn't one of God's people. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker, "Don't drive faster than your angel"? It's kind of a cute bumper, "Then your angel can fly." It's kind of a cute bumper sticker. But it's ridiculous to think that in a car or a boat or a rocket, you could go faster than an angel that's watching over you. Pretty silly. If God has an angel looking over, looking after leaders like Darius that he's raised up, even foreign leaders, do you think he just might have angels watching over you and me to protect us, to encourage us at times? Jesus said, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see my face, for my Father, see the face of my Father who is in heaven." So if children have guardian angels, if foreign leaders have guardian angels, then maybe, just maybe, you and I do too. Amen? The angel goes on from there and begins telling all this history, which starts off with, there's going to be three more kings here, and then the fourth one, he's going to be bigger and better, and he's going to take on the Greeks. And skipping down to verse 6, after some years, they will form an alliance, whoever he's talking about at this point, the north and south. And the daughter of the king of the south will come to the king of the north to carry out a peaceful arrangement. But she will not retain her position of power, nor will he remain with his power, but she will be given up along with those who brought her in, and the one who sired her as well as he who supported her in those times. Well, that's verses 6 and 7. Scholars believe that that is referring to the Seleucid wars between Egypt and Syria. So in 252 BC, Ptolemy the second of Egypt, that'd be south, gave his daughter Berenice, Berenice, in marriage to Antiochus II of Syria, that would be the north, to finalize the treaty between the two lands. But you know, that Antiochus guy, he'd already been married, so he just kind of pushed aside his current wife, and he married this other one so he could do the treaty. But she was still around. She didn't really like the new arrangement. So his ex-wife, or deposed wife or whatever, Laodice, she murdered Berenice. And that didn't go over well. So Ptolemy the third, her brother, her father gave her in marriage, and he's the second. Ptolemy the third is her brother. But he didn't like it much. It says, so he took the throne of Egypt and went to war against Syria. So, kind of messed up. Back to Daniel 11, the description of the wars and kings goes on. Jumping to verse 21, in his place, a despicable person will arise, on whom the honor of kingship was not confirmed, but he will come in a time of tranquility and seize the kingdoms by intrigue. What a guy to be king. He's called despicable. Someone whose honor is not worthy to be king. I wonder if they called him, you know, Eric the usurper. Probably wouldn't have been Eric. But there were some kings that had names of the usurper attached with them. Wars and treaties go on. Verse 27, As for both kings, their hearts will be intent on evil, and they will speak lies to each other at the same table. So it's a negotiating, a bargaining table for a treaty. But it will not succeed, for the end is still to come at the appointed time. So lying kings try to negotiate treaties to their advantage, but the end still comes when God's planned, just when God's planned. Verse 29, at the appointed time he will return and come into the south, but this last time will not turn out the way it did before. All this stuff about God's appointed times. Now I wonder, what is my appointed time? We seriously wondered what Pam's appointed time was with things this last year. Now we're thinking probably further out than we were at first. Yeah. How do you change? New thought. How do you change a wicked person into a godless person? So the one is a bad situation and the other is worse. Smooth words. Flattery. And you may say, Dave, how can you claim that? Well, that's because of what I read in verse 32. By smooth words, he will turn to godlessness those who acted wickedly toward the covenant. But the people who know their God will display strength and take action. You know, many people have a share of goodness, godliness, and a share of wickedness in their lives. People will come to church and be associated with Christ and yet not entirely be on God's path. Sometimes they'll walk their own path. And if that path is wicked, we'll watch out, because someday they could find themselves no longer believing in God. It's so sad when you know someone's been a solid Christian for years and years and they've drifted away, and they'll say after a while, I'm not even sure if there's a God anymore. In contrast to the wicked are the wise, those with insight. So 33, those who have insight among the people will give understanding to many, yet they will fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity, and by plunder for many days. So he's talking about a time of tribulation. Even these insightful people are suffering. The wise, they help many people, but still in times of tribulation, trouble can even reach them. What kind of trouble? We just said sword, flame, captivity, that's slavery, or being plundered. It can even last many days. But be encouraged, this too shall pass. Trouble will not last forever. Sometimes the whole reason of these trials in life are to make us better people. Daniel 35, some of those who have insight will fall in order to refine, purge, and make them pure until the end of time, because it is still to come at the appointed time. For a time, evil's going to prosper. Then the king will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself even above every god, and will speak monstrous things against the God of gods, and he will prosper until the indignation is finished. For that which is decreed will be done. You know, and one of the kings will be an exceptional narcissist. My girls have latched onto that term. Everybody seems to be a narcissist right now. It will show, verse 37, he will show no regard for the gods of his fathers, or the desires of women, nor will he show regard for any other god. He will magnify himself above them all. This guy ignores the God of his ancestors. He ignores the God or goddesses that women prefer. He ignores all gods except himself. As though he was God and should be worshipped. The angel who's been relating all these things to Daniel goes on. There's 8 more verses about future events. Now we're in chapter 12. Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until this time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. We heard about Michael before. Michael is the archangel that came to help this angel as he was coming to talk to Daniel. That was... And Michael is called your prince in chapter 10, verse 21. But when I read that before, I didn't notice that the word was plural. When he said your prince, he meant all of your prince. He is prince to all of your people, not just Daniel's prince. So the angel Michael isn't just Daniel's. Michael is assigned to the Jewish people, to God's people. So now with that in mind, it makes sense for the angel to say, Michael, the great prince who stands over the sons of your people. Talking about all of them. So now we know there are guardian angels, at least for children, probably for all. And we do know from Scripture that only a third of the angels fell, so 2/3 are on God's side. There are angels sent as messengers from God. There are angels guarding leaders, even foreign leaders like Darius. We know there are leaders of angels over people groups like the Jews. What else can we learn from verse 1 in chapter 12? There will be distresses, a curse in nation until this time. At that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. So, all right, those in tribulation are going to get rescued. But what kind of rescue is the angel talking about? It's right away. It means that, right away, doesn't it? The rescue means no more suffering, right? Let's read on. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. It says, many who sleep in the dust. You know what that means? The rescue may not even come in this life. But the rescue is going to be to everlasting life with God. At least for those whose path is God's path. Those on the other path, the path of their own desires. What will they be raised to? Well, to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Job knew that someday his Redeemer would stand on the earth. As for me, I know my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth. The psalmist had some idea, too, of life after death. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. Hey, would you like to be a superstar? I mean, almost all the kids want to be a superstar. Well, I've been reading, and the thing to do is to lead people to Christ. It says in verse 3, those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heavens, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. One of the last things said to Daniel was this: many will be purged, purified, refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. As the end times draw near, the divide between good and evil seems to become more and more division, more and more clear, and this appears to be happening in these days. Now the verse that I keyed on this morning, verse 13, but as for you, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. The angel says to Daniel, go your way to the end. Then all those good things will happen. This brings me back to the discussion we started with. Go your way will only help if your way is really God's way, like it was for Daniel. If your way is some other way, some self-centered way, self-focused way, that promise isn't for you. You won't get your allotted portion, or as the New Testament says, you won't get that mansion that's being built for you. If you don't walk with God from now on. Let's pray. Father, as you've laid out history for Daniel to know, for us to know, we see some great promises. Oh, and some great difficult times, Lord. We see your great reward, yet we also see great loss and senseless suffering for those who haven't walked with you to the end, to their very end, as Daniel did. Help us to choose again today and every day to make your way our way and to choose to walk with you. If that is the cry of your heart, if you want to walk with God on God's path from this day forward, please stand and shout, Amen!
Amen!
Okay. Thank you. You are dismissed.